And just it's just been a privilege to be able to just to stand in their shadows and to learn from them. It's just been so great. Thank you, Pastor Glenn, for trusting me with your pulpit this morning and giving me the ability to share this morning. It's really an honor. It's a privilege. And thank you for anybody in here who's really just poured into me as well this summer. God has been so faithful. It's been such a great summer here, just, you know, serving the Lord here, growing in the Lord here, and I'm just so honored and privileged to be here. And like Pastor Glenn said, I'm at North Point Bible College. It's just past Boston. It's about 30 minutes north, and I'm going into my senior year this year, and I'm just excited for what the Lord has in store and what's next after I graduate. But that's enough about me. Let's look into the Word, 2 Samuel chapter 5, if you have your Bibles. We're going to start reading in verse 17, 2 Samuel 5, 17 to 25. The title of my sermon is Victory Through the Lord. Victory Through the Lord. A while back, I was out for dinner with my girlfriend, Kathleen. We both go to the same school. She's going to be a junior this year, and I'm a senior, like I said. And, you know, most college dates typically are at a restaurant, right? Because if you're at a smaller school, and North Point's a smaller school, the highlight of the school is never the food. So you're always trying to get off campus as much as you can. But also on the other side is, you know, the food isn't always that great. But as a college student, you never have like that much money to always be going out. And this was towards the beginning of our relationship. So I was the one who was kind of like always worried about paying for everything, right? You know, in the beginning of a relationship, the guy is always kind of paying for everything. And then it kind of evens out later on. you know, she just worked full time this whole summer. So when I see her again, I'm going to be like, all right, we're at a restaurant. You got it? But this is the beginning. This is the beginning. And I was paying for everything. And we chose to go to Applebee's. And when we got there, we saw somebody, a girl that had just previously graduated from North Point. She was eating with her father. So we went to greet her. We talked to them for a little bit. And then we went to the table that the waitress had seated us at. And we ordered, we ate and all of that, and at the end of the meal, I'm seeing the waitress come by with the bill and all that, and she comes over to my table, and she kind of notions over to the table where that girl and her father were previously sitting. They had already left, and she says, well, your bill has already been covered. They paid for the entire amount. Praise the Lord. You know, at that moment, we were kind of shocked, and we texted her saying, you know, thank you so much for generously paying for our meal. And, you know, that whole week, I was kind of like figuring out how I'm going to pay for this bill. Like, do I have enough money? And even when I saw the waitress coming, I was like, Lord, hopefully I have enough in my bank for this. You know, so I was trying to figure it all out. But you see, the Lord already had a plan for how I was going to pay for this bill, right? So now we're going to read in 2 Samuel chapter 5. King David, we're going to be reading about a story about King David. And King David had a much larger bill than I had. He had a much larger bill. And guess what? The Lord had already precisely figured out how he was going to pay for this bill. And this large bill that was in front of David was a huge Philistine army. So if you're in 2 Samuel 5:17, let's begin reading there. It says this: when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king of Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him. But David was told they were coming, so he went into the stronghold. The Philistines arrived and spread themselves out across the valley of Rephaim, and David went and asked the Lord, should I go out to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? And the Lord replies and says, yes, go ahead. I will certainly hand them over to you. So David went to Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines there. And David exclaimed, the Lord did it. He burst through my enemies like a raging flood. So he named that place Baal Perazim, which means the Lord who bursts through. The Philistines had abandoned their idols there, so David and his men confiscated them. Verse 22, but after a while, the Philistines returned and again spread out across the valley of Rephaim. And again, David asked the Lord what to do. And the Lord said, do not attack them straight on, but instead circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees. When you hear a sound like marching feet in the tops of the poplar trees, be on alert.
that will be the signal that the Lord is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army. So David did what the Lord commanded, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the authoritative power that it has, Father. We thank you that it is a living word. And I pray that as we just begin to look into your to this passage this morning that is in your word, I pray that you would speak to us, Father, that you would bring revelation to us, and we would leave this place changed this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So to give you a little bit of a backstory of what's going on here, David had just become king of Israel. He was just crowned king. And at this point where Israel was at, their previous king had kind of made a mess of everything. King Saul had kind of made a mess, and Israel at this time was a pretty disunified nation. So that's why at the beginning of the passage, it says, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king of Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him. You see, the Philistines were after keeping Israel disunified. You see, a disunified Israel was a weaker Israel. And the same thing can go for any nation in today's age. How many of you know when we're disunified as a country, we'll become a much weaker country? And we've seen those points in America's history, like just looking back to the Civil War. You see, when a country is disunified, it's weaker. So the Philistines realized that David had been crowned king and that David was going to attempt to bring unity back to this nation, so immediately they mobilized. This battle that we read about can be compared to the famous battle of D-Day. You see, the Allied forces had to break through the beaches in Normandy. And many historians have gone on to say that the successful invasion at the beaches in Normandy were huge, and they were the beginning to battle that essentially sealed the losing fate for the Axis nations. You see, this battle that David was fighting against the Philistines was just like the Battle of D-Day. It was a must-win situation. Their backs were against the wall, and they simply just had to defeat the Philistine army. So David was appointed to a new place of authority, and the Lord had given him a new task to lead this nation of Israel and to bring back unity to this nation. You see, it's when you come into a place of new authority, when the Lord begins to promote you, all of a sudden the enemy begins to mobilize his forces against you. You see, we've all heard the saying, or maybe you've heard it this morning, higher levels bring higher devils. Have we heard that this morning? And I think that statement is true in a sense. I think that as the Lord promotes you, and as you are advanced in the things of the Lord, and as you follow his direction, the target on your back will become bigger and bigger. The enemy will consistently try to stop you from doing what the Lord has you to do. But I think there's a better way of saying that famous quote today. I think we could say it as higher levels bring higher spiritual authority. As we are advanced through the Lord, we are advanced through his spiritual authority, and his protection becomes greater and greater on us as we go from battle to battle. You see, just looking at the life of David, we could see this concept prove true. As a young boy, we know he was a shepherd. And at the time, his enemies when he was a shepherd was sheep or maybe lions or, you know, whatever kind of animal or a wolf that would come and attack the sheep. It was his job to protect his sheep and to fight against those enemies, those animals. And the Lord gave him the ability to protect his sheep. And then as he got older, he was anointed king. And all of a sudden, he was in a position where King Saul's wrath began to burn against this teenage boy, because King Saul never wanted him to take control of Israel, right? He was not in his family line. David was in a completely different bloodline than King Saul. So all of a sudden, David's not a shepherd anymore, but he's being hunted down by the king of Israel at the time, and he's running and he's hiding, and all of a sudden his enemies changed there, and he saw a different type of warfare. But throughout this whole time, the Lord was with him, guiding him through, giving everything he needed to be safe and be protected, until we saw in this passage he's crowned king,
And again, he sees a different type of warfare. He's now king of Israel, and now there's an army in the valley trying to take him out, trying to capture him, trying to stop what the Lord has put on his heart to do. So yes, as the Lord promotes you, and as you spend time growing in the Lord, you will experience higher levels of spiritual warfare. But just because there are higher levels of spiritual warfare does not mean there is defeat. But what does the word say? It says that he takes us from glory to glory, that we are more than conquerors through Christ, that we are the head and not the tail, that we are called to ride upon the high places of the earth. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us we'll be defeated. And if we read to the end of the Bible, right, we look into Revelation, we see the last battle where the enemy is finally completely defeated. There's no place in Scripture where it says when God promises us something that we will be led to a place of defeat. You see, the enemy does not mess with us until we start becoming a threat to him. You see, it's when you start getting a burden and a call for the Lord to reach the lost, when the enemy begins to come after you. He begins to mobilize against you. It's when you start serving in the church, when you come onto the worship team, or you start serving in the sound deck, or you're in the youth group as a youth leader, or working in the children's care. You know, you're changing diapers and all these things. It's when you start doing those things when you become a threat to the enemy, when you decide to witness to somebody, or when you start to pray and the Lord begins to move in your family, or as you pray for your children or your spouse or your parents, all of a sudden you begin to become a threat to the enemy. Right after you begin to construct a new sanctuary for the Lord in Greenwich, Connecticut, right, the enemy begins to mobilize against you. You see, it's when you start doing the things of the Lord when you start to experience warfare. You see, many times we kind of look at warfare in a bad way. Yes, it's tough, but just because there's warfare doesn't mean we've done something wrong. You see, if you never experienced warfare in your life, and I say this in love this morning, maybe it's because you're not so much of a threat to the enemy. Sometimes we kind of think that when we experience warfare, we're in the wrong. It's our fault. You see, when we're going through a financial crisis or our health isn't the place where we want it to be, we think, oh, maybe I did something wrong, or maybe I ate something wrong, or I spent my money in the wrong way. And yes, that could be the reason, but it also could be the reason because the enemy is mobilizing against you. You see, the enemy does not care to mess with you unless you are a threat. King David was a threat to the Philistines, and immediately the enemy mobilized against him. So this morning, if you've experiencing battle after battle, maybe you got a large bill on your table, and the Lord, I'm here to say the Lord has a plan for that this morning. He has victory for you today. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but the word says that he gives us a spirit of power and love and self-control. So let's look at three quick things that we need to do when the enemy attacks from David's encounter with the Philistines. Three things we need to do when the enemy attacks. And the first is this: we need to enter the stronghold. We need to enter the stronghold. David was called a man after God's own heart. And you could clearly see that in this passage. What was the first thing he did when opposition occurred? He ran into the stronghold. He ran to go inquire of the Lord, to pray to the Lord. And many times, on the contrary, in our own life, we make the mistake of immediately when we see the enemy mobilizing against us, we begin to figure out ways we could combat that. But in Deuteronomy 12:30, Moses tells the Israelites to not inquire after any false gods, right? As believers, we should not be inquiring from any other thing, ourselves, from any other person, but we need to inquire after God, the first thing that we do. You know, we shouldn't always run to the advice or the counsel of people before we run to the counsel of the Lord. The Lord has a plan, and he wants to reveal that to you. And if you're constantly just going to people for advice for your situations, we're going to constantly miss what the Lord wants to show us. I'm not saying that advice from people is no good. David went to the counsel of others many times. But it's much more important to seek the counsel of the Lord first. And we should not be looking at any type of Eastern practice or horoscope or any kind of good luck charm. All these things will lead us away from where we need to go. The first thing that we need to do is inquire of the Lord. Verse 17 says that David went to the stronghold. And stronghold comes from the Hebrew word, and I don't know if I'm going to say it right. You can ask Pastor Glenn or Pastor Nick. It says matsud. That's the Hebrew word for stronghold. And it translates to a few different things in English. In this portion of Scripture, we see it translated to the word stronghold. But in other portions of Scripture, we can see it translated to the word castle or fortress. So it would seem like David entered a place that was well defended, a place that could protect him. But the author never clearly identifies to us where this stronghold is. But you see, I think that's precisely what the author wanted to do. I don't think he wanted to tell us about a physical setting that as to where David went, but a spiritual setting. You see, the whole passage points to the power of God. It does not give an account of David's wisdom or his army's great power or anything like that, but it always points to the power and to the glory of the Lord. In Psalms 91, Moses is the writer, and he uses the same word that we see here. He uses matsud in Psalm 91:2, and he says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress or stronghold or my matsud, my God in whom I trust." When biblical writers use this word, this Hebrew word, typically they'd be talking about a place where they would go, a physical location where they would go. Strongholds were usually found on steep mountains so that the enemy could not just simply march up and take it over. They would have high walls around it, maybe a moat to add further protection. They would have towers throughout the whole fortress so that it was well defended. You see, strongholds were a very secure place. But the psalmist isn't talking about a place of physical safety there, but he's talking about a place of spiritual safety. He says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." It was in the fortress of the Lord where the psalmist found refuge. It was in the fortress of the Lord, the stronghold of the Lord, where the psalmist found trust in God. In that matsu, the holy place of the Lord. And I believe the writer of 2 Samuel, where we just read this morning, is talking about the same exact place. He's not showing us a physical place, but a spiritual place where there is security in the presence of the Lord. David went into this stronghold, the fortress, the matsud of the Lord. He entered into the Lord's presence, and he went into a place of security in the Lord. The presence of the Lord is a safe place, and it's exactly where we need to go when opposition occurs. Amen. It's in that place where we're going to receive the download of the Lord of what we should do in our struggles or in our troubles when there's an army coming against us. You see, where His Spirit leads you is the safest place where you can be. So this morning, I encourage you to run to the stronghold when opposition occurs. And the other thing you must do in the stronghold or in the presence of the Lord is to ask Him what you should do. Seek His counsel. That's exactly what David did in that place. He said, "Should I go out to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" And the Lord responded, "Yes, go ahead. I will certainly hand them over to you." Notice the word He says, certainly. Other translations use words like surely or undoubtedly. There's no chance that I will not hand them into your hands, but there's going to be complete victory when you march out against the Philistines. There is a 0% chance of loss. You see, we don't get those strategies when we go to the counselors of people. I mean, sometimes we do, but when we run straight to the Lord, He gives us that direct counsel of what we should do. So the first thing that we need to do when opposition occurs is to run into the stronghold. As David received his promotion from the Lord,
And as the Lord went before him and made sure to go out and to protect him, he ran into the stronghold and he found his divine download, his divine knowledge of what he was to do next. And this leads us to the second point. So three things that we need to do when the enemy comes to attack from David's encounter with the Philistines. The first was to enter the stronghold, and the second is to follow the exact commands of the Lord, and you will receive victory. David receives, like we said, his key to victory in that place. He receives his word from the Lord, and he goes on to follow it exactly as the Lord told him to. David goes out from the stronghold, holy Matsud, and he runs towards the Philistines with his army, and the Philistines are defeated there. And this wasn't just a mere piddly win or just past the finish line panting. You know, I went running the other day, and I don't always do that very often, and I went for like a 2-mile run. It took me like, I don't know, like 25 minutes, I think. I wasn't going so fast. And when I made it back, I was panting, I was out of breath, I was tired. But you see, this win wasn't like that. They completely destroyed the Philistine army. They completely routed them. David says that the Lord burst through my enemies like a raging flood. And this imagery that David uses here is like a dam breaking. You see, we're just a few miles from Kensico Dam, just right down the road. And do you know how many gallons of water this dam holds? It holds 30.6 billion gallons of water, according to a study that was done, I think, a few years back. And if Kensico Dam were to burst, there would be much damage to the surrounding areas. And David portrayed this victory as if the Lord sent out huge waves of water, and this enemy was pushed back so greatly and so very quickly. If we imagine if Kensico Dam bursted, we would see walls of water rushing down, and the immediate areas right next to it would be swept away in great measure and in a quick time. Houses would be swept away, cars, people, all different things, buildings would be swept away by this huge wave and wall of water. You see, this triumphant victory was what God gave the Israelites when they followed his command. You see, I think the key to this whole victory was this, was that David sought the face of the Lord before he went out to attack the Philistine army. In 1 Samuel 4, maybe, I don't know, 20 years or so before this battle, maybe a little bit more, but before this battle, many years before, the Israelites had faced the same nation, the same army, the Philistine nation. And what they did not do before they went to go attack this army was they didn't seek the counsel of the Lord. And they went to go attack this army, and guess what happened? They were completely defeated by the Philistine army. And they also lost the Ark of the Covenant, the place where the Lord was to reside according to the Old Testament law. And eventually, through the Lord's mercy, they did get the Ark of the Covenant back. But in this story, in this chapter we just read, we see a complete shift of what happened in 1 Samuel 4. And in 2 Samuel 5, David does the exact opposite thing. And this time, they have complete victory over the Philistines because they seek the counsel of the Lord. And what's also so cool is that this time, the Ark of the Covenant wasn't taken by the Philistines, but this time, the Philistines left their gods behind as they fleed. And in the Chronicles, it tells us that the Israelites then took the idols and they went to burn them and destroy them. And this was huge in the customary times of that time. The winning opponent would always take the gods of the losing, and they would destroy it, signifying that their god was greater than the opponent's. You see, the Lord gave them complete victory. Not only did he drive them away like a rushing wall of water, but he also displayed his glory over the false gods, signifying complete and utter ruin over the other nation. So what is this showing us this morning? It's showing us this: complete victory is on the other side of obedience. Complete victory is on the other side of obedience. When we listen and obey as David did, complete victory is seen.
And maybe there is someone in this room this morning, and maybe you already have that key to victory, but maybe you've just failed to walk fully out in what the Lord is telling you to do. Maybe it's because of fear or doubt or whatever it is, but I'm here to encourage you this morning that as you walk out in what the Lord is telling you to do, you will see victory, because complete victory is on the other side of being obedient to the Lord. So now we get to the third and the final point this morning. Three things that we need to do when the enemy comes to attack from David's encounter with the Philistines. Number one, we enter the stronghold. Number two, we follow the exact commands of the Lord and we will receive victory. And finally this, number three, when you see the same enemy in the same way and in the same place, go back and do the same thing you did at the start. That's a little bit of a mouthful. Let me say it one more time. When you see the same enemy in the same way and in the same place, go back and do the same thing you did at the start. I want us to look closely at verses 22 and 23. It says, "But after a while, the Philistines returned and again spread out across the valley of Rephaim." Verse 23, "And again David asked the Lord what to do." Take note of the two uses of the word again. The Philistines returned again, and David asked the Lord what to do again. The Philistines were the same army. They were spread out in the same way, and guess what? They were in the same valley. David saw the same enemy in the same way and in the same place, and guess what he did? He went back and did the same thing when he first saw the same enemy in the same way and in the same place. Now, I want you to hear this morning. Just because there is a second battle does not mean there was no first victory. Just because there's a second battle does not mean there was no first victory. Sometimes we get to that place where we see the enemy consistently coming back. And maybe this isn't the second battle for you, but it's the third or the fourth, maybe even the fifth. And you're seeing the enemy come back again and again. And it's almost like when the enemy does that, we kind of in our minds erase the fact that the Lord came through that first time or that second time or that third time. But you see, the Lord has the same victory for you again, because he takes us from victory to victory, from glory to glory. And when I was praying this week, and when I was just looking and studying the text, I felt like that's where a lot of us in this room are this morning. We're seeing the same enemy, and we're seeing him in the same place, and we're seeing him in the same way. But I want to encourage you not to look out in fear, or not to look out in doubt, but to look at it in victory, because just because there is a second battle does not mean there is no first victory. Just as God came through and paid that first restaurant bill, he's going to come through and do it again. Higher levels might bring higher spiritual warfare, but higher levels also bring higher spiritual authority, as we said, and the Lord will carry you in his spirit from victory to victory. So David goes back to the stronghold. He goes back to what he did at the start. And David asks the Lord what to do. And this time the Lord tells him this in verse 23. "Do not attack them straight on. Instead, circle around them near the poplar trees. And when you hear a sound like marching feet in the tops of the poplar trees, be on alert. That will be the signal that the Lord is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army." Many scholars have looked at this text and have come to believe that this army was much larger this time, because the Lord gave him a different way of defeating them. He told them to go around and almost to use like an ambush tactic against the army. And many have believed that this army was much bigger. That's why the Lord told them to go around and to ambush them. So just because there might be a larger army or the enemy is coming at you in a stronger way does not mean that the Lord is not going to give you victory again. David hears from the Lord and he follows the exact commands of the Lord, like we talked about in point number two. Church, you cannot assume that you can fight the enemy in the same way you did at the first time the enemy came. But when you see the enemy come back, it's our job to go back to the Lord and receive his divine revelation again. And maybe he will say to attack the enemy in the same way, but maybe he's going to tell us a different strategy, to do something different, to walk in a different way, to do something differently than we did at first. But he will give you victory in that. If I can have the worship team just to begin making their way and to help me as we close. David leaves the stronghold. He leaves the holy Matsud, right? And he brings his army behind the enemy. And they wait for the signal of the Lord. They wait for the sound of the rushing wind, the sound that would sound like a marching, like marching soldiers in the treetops. We don't know how long they waited. It could have been for a few minutes. It could have been for hours. We don't know how long this waiting process was, but the important thing was that they waited. And this morning, I believe the Lord is confirming to some of you that you just have to wait. Maybe you've been fearing or complaining or not understanding what is going on because you've just been praying, you've been asking the Lord to bring you victory, but you're just waiting for him to move. But just because you're waiting does not mean the Lord is going to move out in victory. He's still there with you because where his spirit is the safest place where you can be. Where he's guiding you is the exact same place you want to do. You don't want to go out ahead of God where his spirit won't be, but you want to be with God where his spirit is in that time of waiting. And sometimes the Lord does this just to test us, just to make sure we're listening to him. Sometimes it's just a test of faith, a test of trust in us. And in the final verse of the passage, in verse 25, it says this. It says, so David did as the Lord commanded. David listens to his commands. He waited. He followed everything to the T. And then it says, he struck down all of the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. As the Lord commanded, he completely routed the Philistines. You know how far the distance is between Gibeon and Gezer? It's roughly 15 miles. 15 miles. It was a huge amount of distance. The victory was so great that the Philistine army this time was driven back 15 miles. Complete victory was given to David. And in this story, as we close, I just want to take note of this thing. It's that the victory was not depicted to be because of David's wisdom or because of his great army's courage. There was no acts of heroism. There was no person that was pointed out that said, oh, this person did that or this person killed this certain person. There was no accounts of that, but it all pointed to the great work of the Lord. Just like my restaurant bill in the beginning that I shared, I didn't spend any money. I didn't do anything, but it was all because of the Lord. There was no honor that was going to go to my name because of that. But all thanks went to the Lord. You see, all thanks in this place, in this story, went to the Lord. You see, it was in the stronghold of the Lord in verse 19 where David found his counsel. And this stronghold had nothing to do with man-made design or man-made strength or man-made protection or man-made wisdom, but had everything to do with spiritual protection, peace, and provision and divine direction from the Lord. The first victory was because of the Lord's great power. It had nothing to do with David's army or David's wisdom, but it had everything to do with the Lord and how he bursted through the Philistine lines like a rushing wall of water. And in the second victory, it was the Lord that went before the Israelite army. It was not the Israelites that went out first, but it was the Lord that went first. And he went out and completely routed the Philistine army from Gibeon to Gezer. You see, the real strategist and the real victory in this story was Yahweh himself. It was the Lord of lords and the King of kings. There's no record of heroism. There's no record of bravery or any righteous act. But as it says in verse 25, as David did as the Lord commanded, as he followed his lead, he was able to go from victory to victory.
So what do we do when we see a Philistine army in our valley of Rephaim? First, we enter the stronghold. We receive divine revelation. We receive the divine knowledge from the Lord as to what we should do in His safe presence that brings us peace. Then we follow His exact commands and we will receive victory. And finally, if we see the same enemy and if we see them in the same way and in the same place, we go back and we do the same thing we did at the start, and we watch the Lord bring us great victory. Amen. Again, amen. Stand with me this morning, church. I'm not sure where you are this morning, but what I do know is that the Lord has great victory for you. I know that today is a day of victory. You know, this week I had two texts that I was looking at and praying for, and the Lord brought me to this passage. And I don't believe it was by accident, but I believe that somebody needed to hear this word of encouragement this morning, this word of victory today, that the Lord wants to bring you out and He wants to completely rout the enemy that is standing in your valley. Maybe the enemy is just beginning to mobilize against you, or maybe you're looking at the enemy literally standing in your valley, or maybe this is the second time you're seeing them, or the third, or the fourth, or the fifth. I don't know how many times, but maybe you're in the stronghold now and you're waiting for the Lord to speak, or maybe you're near the poplar trees and you're standing there in the woodsy part of the field and you're just waiting for the Lord to go out ahead of you. You're in what I like to call the divine waiting room. You know there is victory coming, but it's just through that waiting room door when you get into that doctor's office. You're in the divine waiting room, just waiting upon the Lord. You see, sometimes the Lord has you in this period of divine waiting, and He asks you just to wait on Him, to trust in Him, to find peace in Him. You see, the Lord teaches us so much in waiting. I've seen that so much in my life. In waiting, I've learned the most I did about anything in life. It was in those periods, those seasons where the Lord asked me to wait and to sit on in His presence, to sit in His refuge, and just to wait for His presence to go out before me. Waiting doesn't mean that there is defeat. Waiting just means that there's going to be future victory. Just not present victory in the moment, but while you're waiting, you will not be defeated, because like we said before, His Spirit is right there with you. Don't make the mistake that the Israelites made in 1 Samuel 4, like we talked about, where they rushed out before the Lord and did not seek His counsel, but wait on Him. Wait for the sound. Wait for the presence of the Lord to go before you. And I don't know this morning what army is standing in front of you today either. Maybe it's unemployment, or maybe it's a mortgage that's too large, or you're a financial crisis in your life, or some kind of debt that you're trying to pay. Maybe it's a son or a daughter that has left home or left the Lord, and you've been just praying and waiting for the Lord to bring him or her back. Maybe it's your spouse that you're praying for, and you've been just waiting for him or her to come to church with you. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe it's you that's just struggling in sin cycle after sin cycle, in addiction after addiction, and the enemy consistently keeps on coming back and binding you and keeping you entrapped and using fear as a tactic to keep you bound. Maybe it's sexual sin or an alcoholic addiction or a drug addiction, but there's victory in the Lord this morning. Maybe. Amen. Maybe it's your health that has took a turn for the worst. Maybe your enemy is your boss at work. Maybe you're waiting for promotion, or maybe you're waiting for a new job and you just feel like it's a constant period of waiting. Maybe your battle is your marriage this morning and you've seen it go up and down for season after season. I don't know what army is standing in front of you today, but what I do know is just as the Lord gave David victory, He is going to grant you victory this morning.
Amen. Enter into the stronghold. Find rest in His presence. Receive His guidance. Listen to His commands and walk out in what He's telling you. And if you're seeing that same enemy, keep on pursuing the things of the Lord. This morning is a morning of victory. I believe the Lord is going to refresh you. So if that's you this morning, if the Lord is speaking to you, I just want to ask that you would come up to the altar right now. Just as we begin to close, just come up to the altar now. And I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. And I just want to close in just a song of worship in just a moment. But if that's you, just walk down now. And I believe the Lord is going to release His victory in your life. I believe the Lord is going to start refreshing you in His presence, even right now in His presence as you stand here. He's going to start going out into your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday, your Thursday, your Friday, and He's going to start sowing seeds of victory in those days. He's going to start sending His presence forward into your life. So if that's you today, as Pastor Nick and the team leads us in a chorus, I want you just to sing to the Lord and just surrender to Him as we close today. Follow what the Lord is doing. Listen to Him and receive His refreshing this morning. Amen.
There's no other name like yours. There's no other name.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Church, just begin to speak the name Jesus over your situation. Lord, we thank you. Jesus, you are wonderful, Father God. We thank you for your goodness, Father. We thank you that your goodness follows us from season to season, Father God. You are always right by our side, Father God, and you know exactly where we need to be, Father God. So today, we just ask that you would pour out your peace on us, Father. I just feel like there's some of us in here who have just been walking in fear, who have just been bound by fear, and the Lord wants to give you courage today. He wants to give you comfort and faith today. So just receive divine faith from the Lord in this morning. He is going to carry you through. And I ask, Father God, that you would just bless your people, Father God, that you would bring them from victory to victory, that they would be more than conquerors through Christ, that they would be the head and not the tail, Father, that they would ride upon the high places of the world, of the earth, Father God. God, we, in Scripture, we are not told that we would be defeated, Father, but we are told that we would be victorious. Father, wherever you promise us that we are to go, Father, you always bring us forward to where we need to be, Father God. So I pray that you would give us extra grace, Father God, extra peace, Father God, to continue walking in whatever trial we are in, Father. And I pray that you would grant your people victory, Father, and that you would grant it to them now, Father God, that they would walk in victory in everything that they do. And we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Come on, give the Lord a good praise in this place today. Josh, that was good preaching. I couldn't preach like that when I was a junior in Bible college. You must have grown up in a great home church. Awesome, awesome, awesome word. How many of you heard a word from the Lord this morning? Come on. We're going to go to the stronghold, and we're going to inquire of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Listen, if you'd like to just share, there's just offering plates at the back door. And if you'd like to just share a little something, it's going to go. It's not going to go towards pizza money. It's going to go towards Josh's college tuition to help him with his senior year. How many of you will pray for Josh that God'll just guide his footsteps and order his footsteps for ministry? God bless you, everybody. If you're new to Harvest Time Church, and I've never had a chance to meet you, I'm going to be in the reception room. It's across the foyer in that direction. And I'd love an opportunity to meet you, shake your hand, and just learn your name. Have a blessed week in Jesus, everyone. Be blessed. Go to the stronghold and inquire of the Lord. Walk in the anointing and the joy of the Lord. God bless you. God be with you. Hug two or three necks. Bless them in the name of Jesus. Have a great week in the Lord.